Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall in the Issues of Life. My name is Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And today, I'm going to be joined once again by my lovely wife, Donna. Donna, why don't you go ahead and say hello to the audience?
Hello, everyone.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good and excited to do this program.
Good. Well, that's by faith, right? Because we have been dealing with a lot of smoke in the air from the fires. The inland northwest has been burning. There's, I think, over 1,000 fires, if they're all added up, in the western part of the country. And the smoke has been terrible, hasn't it, Donna?
It has. It's been really hard to deal with. It's almost depressing because the entire sky has just been gray and dirty.
So we have been enduring that. And at the same time, the rest of the country has, depending on where you live, we have hurricanes that struck. And then we had another hurricane strike Florida. Mexico had an earthquake. There was a CME, a solar flare, that fired off, in fact, two of them in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
That disrupted radio transmissions. So it has been challenging, and I'm sure, depending on where you are geographically, some of you have been facing the ills of America and the world, which is, we are presently under judgment.
Yes, we are definitely under judgment.
So let's move forward now. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage all of you to get your Bibles, get a pen and paper, and take notes, because I'm going to share some things on this program. It's going to go pretty deep into the scriptures, and I have confidence that it's going to help to bring clarity to some individuals who have been thinking about this and struggling with it. And it has to do with the false prophecies that are steering a lot of evangelicals right now, because they're listening to theology that's not even in the Bible. And it has to do with the Cyrus thing, that Donald Trump is Cyrus. So I'll go ahead and leak that out. Some of you have heard this, some of you believe it, but we're going to take a look in the scriptures to see if it's true. Now, some people might say, how can we know if Trump is Cyrus by using the Bible? Can we?
Yes, that's the only way we can know.
We must use scriptural discipline to believe the things that we believe. If we are willing to tighten our fists and argue with someone over a political ideal, we better make sure it's scriptural. If we're going to be vehement about something, Donna, we have to make sure it's true. Because if we're standing on something that's wrong, then we're going to have a boo-boo in our theology, and we could be leading ourselves astray as well as our loved ones, and we can't afford that. So, ladies and gentlemen, get your pen and paper, get your Bibles, and take notes. And I promise, I want to also say this, Donna, here comes the Watchman Cry promise. I promise that by the time they're finished listening to what we're going to present, they're going to say, yes, finally, it makes sense. Finally. Finally, the confusion's gone.
Because that's what the Word of God does for us. It does away with confusion.
The opposite of that is what Babylon offers.
Babel.
Babel, exactly. And confusion with some sprinkles of the spirit of Egypt, which brings a stupor and blindness. And when people are blind and in a stupor, they're going to be led astray. Folks, we can't afford that. If we're going to be the remnant of God that endures, our duty is to have a hold of truth. Now, before we go on, one more thing I want to just mention, and I'm going to be talking about this more probably in the next program, but some of you have noticed I haven't put out a show. There was a gap of a week or two, Donna, right?
Yeah.
I've been struggling with some health issues, and I really don't like to make my health issues that public, but it's getting pretty bad now that it's affecting my ability to put out content and new programs. And it has to do with an injury that I have, a hernia, a hiatal hernia or a sliding hernia. I think we mentioned it a few programs ago. Some well-meaning people suggested, well, just drink vinegar water and, you know, alkalize or get essential oil and drip it and smell it. But this is an injury, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you that might have suggested that, I appreciated it. But this is an injury that causes, this is the worst acid reflux I have ever experienced in my life. And I'm going now on over a year of having to deal with this thing. And it's so bad that some nights I don't get any rest. The hernia has a pinch in it, and there's no valve to shut off the backflow of acid. And so that's what's going on. So Donna and I have been seeking medical remedies, and I'm going to be going to a specialist. We already visited him once, but we're going to have to have this thing diagnosed.
They're going to have to put you under to do it.
Yeah, they're going to stick a camera inside and go down the whole thing. And it's going to cost over $3,000. So we've been struggling with this knowledge. It hasn't been easy, folks, but it's affecting my ability to produce. So please pray for us here at Watchman's Cry. And by the way, that's just to diagnose it. And then after that,
most likely we'll be going into surgery, yes.
And I don't even want to think of what that's going to cost, but it's just crazy. I've seen some of the figures. It's just nuts. So we will be sharing it with you.
And when we live off of faith, that's what we live off of. And we don't have health insurance because we can't afford it.
Yeah, the health insurance is $1,200 a month, is it, for our family? Or
yes.
And then if you use it,
there's a $10,000 deductible.
So anything below 10 grand is on you anyway. So you're spending over $12,000 a year,
yes,
just for the premium. And then another $10,000 to use it. And then it's 80-20 mm-hmm. after that. The Obama program is just dumb. It makes no sense.
We can't even afford to get health insurance because it's going to cost more to get health insurance than it is to actually pay out of pocket for the surgery.
Folks, pray for us. And we're going to be sharing this as the time progresses. This coming, the first week in October, I'm going to have that scope thing to look inside.
October 13th, yes.
But the 3rd.
Oh, October 3rd. So please be praying that all goes well.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, we all have our cross to bear. I notice that a lot of our listeners have medical issues they struggle with.
They do.
And that's just the way it is. You know, your body breaks down. We live in a fallen world. Our body's grown to be redeemed. But we can't do the recall until the trumpet sounds and then we get a new body. So until then, I got to make do. Folks, I want to be a watchman that can be on the wall with endurance to do my job. Some of you have been enjoying these programs, but you haven't supported us in the past. But you see the benefit of what we're doing? Take it to prayer. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. So with that out of the way, Donna, let's move forward. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have your Bible and your pen and paper? Please get that. Also, I want to invite you to share this program with other believers, with friends and family, with spiritual leaders, with pastors. Share it with them. Say a prayer and give them a link to our website. Because folks, we're fighting for truth to be given to God's people. You know, Donna, I had a hard time trying to decide what to call this program. I had a few choices. One of them was America Lost in Confusion and Deception. The other name of this program is Emperor Donald Hirohito Trump.
Yeah, some people will get offended, yes.
But I'm going to show on this program that we are actually witnessing this. It's bizarre. Maybe not in the same exact dynamic as Japan, the imperialist Japanese before World War II. But Japan had that. They had their emperor, and no one could question the emperor. And the emperor could do no wrong. And whatever the emperor said, the people went along with. They just did it. That's why you had the kamikazes killing themselves, Donna. Why? Because Hirohito said, get on a plane, put dynamite in it, and crash into the American ships. It was crazy. After we won the war and Japan surrendered, America took away their emperor. Because at that time, it was obvious that emperor worship made the massacre of innocent people easy because the Japanese just did what they were told. And we're seeing a certain portion of American society that is following Trump and not questioning his antics. They're not calling into question the things that are wrong, the erratic behavior, the insanity. And instead of pointing it out, his base will make excuses and blame somebody else.
And they defend it.
Or defend it. It's deep state's fault that Trump's not getting things done. It is the Republicans' fault, Paul Ryan's fault.
It's Obama's fault.
It's Mueller's fault. It's the FBI's fault. It's the fake news' fault. It's always someone else's fault. Now, folks, think about this. If it's constantly someone else's fault and it's coming from a person that never admits that he does wrong, we have a pattern that is disturbing. And if people observe this pattern and they are okay with it, they excuse it, and if they are also Christians, then we really have a problem, Donna, because the Bible prohibits this. If we had regular children who behaved in a certain manner, and when the parent made note of their bad behavior or was informed of their bad behavior, and that same parent then did a spin and said, well, the kid down the street is worse, or his friend made him do that, it's not his fault. What kind of parents would they be?
Parents who are letting their child grow up to never take responsibility. And we do have that in our society. We live in a society where parents do blame everything for their child's behavior except for their child. And that's the society we have that has brought us to this point. And some of those people do not allow Trump to be blamed for anything. They approve of blaming others. That's the society we have.
What's even worse, Donna, is spiritual leaders, pastors are okay with it. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we just want to share with you and let you know our hearts. We love you. And I think we're one of the longest ones that's been out there. There's a lot of people doing this.
There is, yes.
Everyone has their reasons. Some of them have been sent by God. Some were sent, some just went. So the people of God must sift through that. Ladies and gentlemen, your job is to sift through and to be careful. And I've said this many times over and over, to make note of those who promised you things about the future, who promised you results about the Trump presidency, who promised you that certain things were going to take place here in America in the positive realm, and make note that when it's obvious that they missed it, they missed God, to remember the amount of time and effort you're going to put into these same people. In my opinion, Donna, they're wasting their time. Why waste your time with liars or confused ones or blind people? They both end up falling into a big hole.
Yes.
As most people know, several weeks ago, our country experienced
a solar eclipse just in our country.
We had a black sun crossing the country.
Yeah.
And that event had spiritual expectations for a lot of Christians, and still it does.
And also for the pagans, they had that festival at the same time.
The pagans believe that energy is derived from the moon and from the sun, and if they do their ritual at the same time, they will be able to soak in that energy. But the eclipse had a lot of predictions, expectation. I do not believe that September 23rd is going to be the rapture. If the rapture was going to happen on September 23rd, that would mean that we're in the tribulation period right now. And we don't have an antichrist that is persecuting Christians and chopping off our heads and making us take the mark. But I do believe the eclipse was a sign. It was an omen from God. A black sun went across the country, and in 7 years we're going to have another one. I do believe God shows us signs. He uses his firmament to give us signs. The moon and the sun acted to have a brushstroke across the United States. And there is meaning to it, because several weeks after the eclipse, what did we have happen?
We had two hurricanes, one right after the other. One hit Texas in the Gulf. Very bad. Lots of flooding. It came in at Corpus Christi, which is the body of Christ. No, it didn't directly hit Corpus Christi. It
skirted Corpus.
It skirted it, like God is cleansing us.
Right.
And then the next one came to Florida.
Irma,
which has an interesting meaning to its name.
Should we talk about that real quick?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did a YouTube talking about the spiritual sign, the prophetic sign of Harvey. If you haven't watched it, check it out. The name Harvey means blazing iron, battle worthy. It has several meanings. So Harvey, the battle worthy iron scourge, arrived or aimed for Corpus Christi, but then it moved north. It had mercy on Corpus, and then it really wreaked havoc on the rest of the coast. Rockport, yes. Victoria. It started just demolishing everything. But it aimed for Corpus Christi, which means the body of Christ.
Yes.
So the prophetic sign there is the judgment begins with the body of Christ first, the house of God.
Yes.
But then the world after that. So the message was, prepare for judgment if you're in the body of Christ.
And it's not meant to kill the body of Christ.
It's to, with mercy and grace, to purge us.
Yes.
To bring us back in line. The crooked paths made straight.
Amen.
So that was the sign, because after Harvey did its thing, then Harvey just flooded. It set record 50 inches of rain. That's unheard of. And then we had Irma. Now, Irma means war goddess. Goddess of war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, think about this. Irma zeroed in on the Florida Keys. And it turns out that the most damage that was experienced by the war goddess was the Keys of Florida. And then, of course, it went up the western coast of Florida. But the Keys were just demolished. It was horrible. It's very sad. I've seen some of the video. They say 60% of all the houses are damaged or destroyed. It's a sad tale with what happened there. And I was wondering, well, if Harvey in Corpus Christi had a prophetic message, did Irma have a message as well? And when you look at the meaning of Irma, and where it struck first, there's another message here. Now, folks, think about this. The goddess of war. Now, of course, we know the true God is the God of heaven and earth, but there are false gods. Some of them are demonic. Some are fallen angelic entities that are worshipped by humans. This war goddess is not a true god, but in the esoteric realm.
And in demonic realm, there are higher levels of demons.
Right. So a war goddess would be an entity that would bring war to a region or a nation. Mm-hmm. Irma, the war goddess, struck the keys and overwhelmed the keys. So America's keys were taken by the goddess of war. What is the message here? The keys are the method. You get control of the keys, you know, the keys to the kingdom, mm-hmm. the keys to the door. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, these two storms after the eclipse are revealing that judgment is here. It's official.
They are not a blessing.
And we have stated for years that judgment would be in four categories, and the fourth one is a sword, meaning
war.
Right?
Meaning war is coming.
War is coming. Hurricane Irma was a confirmation that war is coming. And it also does this. When the war comes, it's not going to be in the possession or the hands or the control of a noble, righteous man. We had Irma, the goddess, demonic creature of war, got control of the keys of America. So now God is allowing. Now, folks, I'm not trying to give praise to the powers of darkness, but they are formidable and they are real and they do exist. And God allows the powers of darkness to be used as agents to carry out his will when he wants to judge a nation or a people. So when we see that the goddess of war has control of the keys of America, the keys open the door. The keys mean a person walks through, or a timeline or a chapter walks through a threshold, unlocks the door, and we go through the threshold, and on the other side are events, a new chapter. We turn a corner. So what's the message, Donna? God is going to allow, he's going to let them, the powers of darkness, he gave them the keys.
Have the war keys. Yes.
The war keys.
Yes.
And when the powers of darkness have possession of the war keys, are we going to win?
No, we're not going to win. Our winning is when the harvest comes. That's the only way we win in this scenario.
What Donald Trump said, we're going to win so much we'll be sick of winning. Folks, war is coming, and you know, they don't need us to tell them that, Donna. Just look at the news. We don't even have to prophesy this anymore. Of course, we've been saying it for 10 years, but now it's mainstream. Kim Jong just fired another missile.
Yeah, it's ramping up.
Nikki Haley, the ambassador to the UN, has stated that, I mean, she's making it known. Kim Jong wants a war. We're taking war. We have options on the table. Mattis?
She wants war.
She wants what? Because that's what she's been told to say. Mm-hmm. But America's generals are saying that the plans are ready, and they're not telling us what it is, but they're getting ready.
Well, and we're not leaving Syria. We're going to ramp up in Syria.
Every country, and how many countries is Donald Trump poking at the moment? You know, when he was inaugurated, all we had to do was watch his speech.
And the soldiers?
And the 10 officers stood behind him in two rows. Right there was the message. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a war president. It was obvious. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have my back. The military will have my back. War is coming.
Yes.
Folks, we said it then. Trump projected it. For those that had the eyes to see, it was right there in front of all of us. Since then, in 9 months, going on 10 months of his presidency, he has provoked Venezuela.
Yes. And now that Venezuela has done away with the dollar, we're going to have to spread democracy to them.
I guess the U.S. military, you're being sarcastic, right? But yeah,
but that's what they call it when we invade a country.
We're going to spread freedom. We don't invade, Donna. We're spreading democracy and bringing security to them. So he's poking Venezuela and now Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
We're blaming Cuba that they have sonic weapons and hurt our ambassadors, and they had the acoustic weapons. Cuba did.
Right.
Add to that Yemen, Syria, Pakistan was our ally just months ago, but now all of a sudden Trump is picking on Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
He's picking on South Korea, who we need to be the ally because we have a base there. When he starts the war with North Korea, he has to be friendly with South Korea, but he's also picking on South Korea, saying he doesn't like the commerce arrangements and the trade that we have with them. So he's bullying them.
He's threatening to penalize them on the trade issues by pulling back our military at the same time while we're poking the panda bear.
And then we have, of course, China and Russia is nonstop. Now, China and Russia have recently stated they don't like the sanctions, the embargo on oil that we're doing on North Korea. They're not happy with it because they exchange oil mm-hmm. with them. So China and Russia don't like that. When we were attacked by Japan on December 7th, 1941, which, by the way, the week previous in the Hilo newspaper, it said Japan may attack us next weekend or over the weekend. So they knew it was coming.
Yes, they did.
But at that time, we had an oil embargo against Japan. We weren't allowing them. We had sanctions, the same way we're doing now with North Korea. History is repeating itself. So, ladies and gentlemen, war is coming. It's so close. Can't say that enough. War is coming. And I don't like this because we have two draftable age sons. And, of course, we have listeners out there with children as well. So I don't like this. I do not like...
We have listeners who have already lost children to these wars.
In Afghanistan, Trump did a troop search. He said that we were going to leave Iraq and Afghanistan. He was going to stop that. But then he did a troop search just a few weeks ago.
And he basically said, we're just going to stay as long as we want to stay.
So that was a campaign promise that's not going to happen. War is coming. This is the thing that we have to share because it's not going to happen as a method to bring greatness to America, as some of the false prophets say. You know, they say the reason for America's activities out there is to plunder the world and bring the treasures to us, to America, because the world owes us. In reality, the war is so that the bankers and the Rothschild-owned banks and the military-industrial complex
can become more wealthy and control more.
Exactly.
It's all about their money. It's not going to benefit the American people if we plunder those nations because it's not coming back to us. It's going to the IMF. It's going to the world bankers.
Exactly. But since the eclipse, we had those hurricanes, and then the hurricanes had a message. Irma, war.
Still more coming. Two right now. Two coming.
This is amazing. So some people would bring up and say, well, Nathan, this is how absurd it is. Now, folks, please think about this. Because we got rebuked by some people on Facebook and on my YouTube channel. They said that the hurricanes have nothing to do with God because they were steered by heart. And it's geoengineering. Therefore, it's man. It's not God. Well, this is the part that I have to add. When you read the book of Revelation and you see all the judgments coming, the judgments are using human agents killing each other. And God is allowing them to do it. The demonic hordes of hell are allowed to whisper to the kings to do certain things to give their power and authority to the beast. So God uses humans.
Yes.
And those humans will use whatever weapons they have. When Babylon took over Israel and invaded Israel in the Old Testament, they brought their siege tools, their siege works, their trebuchets and their catapults and their, you know, those harpoons. Back then, if someone would have, you know, if Jeremiah was saying judgment's coming and they're going to destroy us, if someone would have rebutted him and said, well, actually, Jeremiah,
it was a trebuchet.
It's a trebuchet. It's not God. It's a tool of man. So God has nothing to do with it. The enemy is used as a human agent to do a certain task. They need tools. In the old days, it was swords. And, you know, before Israel got invaded, Babylon was sharpening their swords and forging new weapons. Does that mean God was not in it? No, the plan was already underway in advance.
Yes.
I do suspect it is harp. I do. Because of the way these hurricanes acted. You know, turning from a tropical depression in the Gulf, and then 48 hours later to be a level 4 Harvey.
Yeah.
That's fast. Something's not right.
And Jose doing that little loop-de-loop.
You pointed that out yesterday, and I did confirm that. Folks, did you know that? Jose did a loop-de-loop out in the Atlantic.
It went clockwise.
So it went north, but then it...
It did a full circle.
It went all the way around, and it's...
Yeah.
It's like, really? They're steering them.
Yeah, they are steering them, but God's allowing it.
God's allowing it. So... Weather warfare, it's a military weapon. The U.S. Air Force did an article years ago saying that they were going to control the weather by 2025 and it was going to be the force multiplier. Well, they're early. They are able to steer them using HAARP and ionization weapons and pulse-generating weapons. But the bottom line is God's allowing judgment and they're going to use their weapons against America. So here's another question. If HAARP is owned by America... And the hurricane struck America. Why would America strike America? Some would ask that. And then they would conclude with, therefore, if it's the same country attacking itself, then it's nullified. And I don't believe you because a country wouldn't do that.
Order out of chaos. You can't get it without the chaos.
We've done too many programs, Donna. We have hundreds of programs that expose this. It's common knowledge that there are rogue elements. The New World Order does want chaos, as you stated. So... yes, they would do that. McNamara came up with Operation Northwoods in the early 1960s to dress up American commandos like Cubans and also to shoot a missile at a plane, to crash a plane filled with young people. That was in Operation Northwoods, and it was in-house by our Department of Defense to use an inside job to start a war. Kennedy did not sign off on it, and soon after,
he was killed.
That's just one example. The New World Order is ruthless. The elite of the world are ruthless. They've been at this since the beginning of this country. The Illuminati's been around forever. The Knights Templar have been around forever, the Freemasons. And then you have these other groups, these elite groups that exist, and we know about them, the Bilderbergs, Committee of 300, Club of Rome, CFR, Bilderberg, Rothschilds. They all exist. Mm-hmm. We know about them. They are not losing because they have been given the ability to win because God is going to judge this world, and he is judging this world. So when people say that Donald Trump is going to drain the swamp or deep state is stopping him, folks, that's the wrong way to look at it. In truth, he is their puppet that was placed in there to fulfill a certain role. He is the synthesis of
thesis versus antithesis. And together they make a synthesis,
which is Donald Trump. You know, you give people two choices and you make one of them a monster, they're going to run to the other one. But that doesn't mean the other one's good. That's what happens. Hillary was the monster. And Christians then believe that, therefore, if she's bad, he must be the guy with the white hat. Mm-hmm. So now here we are. We have crazy man boy Kim Jong from North Korea threatening America and his region with war. The signs of the times are all around us.
And they seem to be increasing exponentially.
They are. Of course, at the same time, not everyone believes that judgment is here. Some Christians don't believe in judgment, Donna. Why is that?
They don't believe in judgment because the false prophets of peace and prosperity are out in force, convincing them otherwise. The Dominionists, the NAR, the Kingdom Now, the Man-Child, the Joel's Army, they're all convincing them that the Bible is not going to play out the way the Bible is written. And because people want to believe good things are coming, they fall for it.
And as a result, the church is littered with their garbage, with the seven mountain tombstone that put a tombstone on the church. Here lies the church that used to be alive but is now dead with lies. The seven mountain theology is...
it has proven itself to be false because they haven't taken over anything. They have no... the seven mountains is all about controlling the world around them. What do they have control over?
But while they are spreading the false message, in spite of that, many evangelicals believe it. They believe their false claims. And one of the political icons of their dominionist movement is Donald Trump.
He's their golden calf.
Trump is a human. He's a human being. But he's been immortalized into a godlike fixture to the likes of Emperor Hirohito. That's why I mentioned him earlier. Now, Hirohito was worshipped by Japanese citizens in the 30s, and he was treated like a god.
And if he said it, then it was true, as far as the Japanese people were concerned.
I find it interesting that during Obama's previous administration, do you remember? Many evangelicals were alarmed at the display of the cult for Obama.
The worshipfulness towards him.
Yeah, the admiration they had, and the people would faint and cry, oh, Obama, and Christians were disturbed when they, what did we call it?
It was evil, and as they were doing it, these same people would say that it was evil.
What people?
The people who are now worshiping Trump would say...
the evangelical base, you mean?
Yes, the evangelical base would say that is evil, that cultish worship of Obama.
When those same evangelicals saw that display, they would then say, I wonder if...
if he's the Antichrist.
And people speculated and wondered because it seemed like he would be, right? And to this day, still, they're expecting Obama to come back and resurrect himself and steal the Oval Office away from Trump. By the way, I want to say officially, and now if I'm wrong, Donna, I would admit it, but at this point, Obama's the past. We are watching the replacement of Obama in a crafty deception that is so vilely genius in its method to deceive that it fulfills its own method, and it's going to fulfill what the New World Order needs to happen, because the New World Order was in a vacuum. They could not move forward with Obama there. Too many Christians and right-wingers would say no way.
They fought him every step of the way.
And they would die doing it. Keep your K-bar sharp and your powder dry, folks, because Obama's going to do this and that. You know, he's bringing in those militarized police forces. He's going to bring Jade Helm. He wants to take away our guts. Remember that? The vigilance?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Trump is doing the same thing. Folks, Donald Trump signed an executive order to resume the moratorium that Obama had. Obama stopped the giveaway to police departments of all those...
of all those militarized vehicles and
rocket launchers and helicopters, all that. Obama stopped it.
Yes.
Evil Obama, the devil man, stopped it. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump signed an executive order to resume it. Donald Trump signed an executive order to allow warrantless searching in Virginia and Maryland and in D.C.
If it relates to any form of terrorism, supposedly.
Donald Trump went to the Association for the Police, and he told them, you know what, you're being too nice to the criminals. Don't worry about bumping their head when you stick them in the car. You know, kind of shove them around. I'm paraphrasing. Don't worry about being too nice to them. In other words, mistreat the suspects. And everyone clapped.
And the word is here, suspect.
They clapped. And then when it was put on Facebook, evangelicals clapped.
They cheered. They didn't just clap, they cheered.
Now, folks, please explain to me how, when 2 years ago we were worried about the police forces and the military being domestic on American domestic soil, Jade Helm was bad and the devil, and people were expecting to be rounded up in Texas and the Jade Helm experiment. Remember that? Mm-hmm. But now, the police are now okay to have these tools because Trump gave it to them. And then when Trump said you can mistreat the people, that is something to cheer for. What planet does that make sense on, Donna?
That means the whole group of evangelical base that supports Trump doesn't care about the Constitution of the United States, doesn't believe in innocent until proven guilty. So just mistreat them because they get arrested. That works really well until they knock on your door. Or, I'm sorry, they don't knock on your door. They just walk right in.
Exactly. So, as I was stating, Trump has been immortalized, like Hirohito, the emperor. It doesn't make sense. Obama came and he's gone now, and he's been replaced by Trump. Now, I do fully believe, and as I stated, if I'm wrong, ladies and gentlemen, then I'll admit it, but Obama is not the one to worry about at this point. Because
I agree.
I've been watching this. I have studied Trump for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, and I see, going back 20, 30, 40 years, his upbringing, his grooming, his influences, his participation in the business world, those he has rubbed shoulders with, from Jersey and Queens, where he started, all the way to his worldwide empire, where he has rubbed shoulders with world leaders. And the Trump organization, the Trump empire, is littered with corruption. It is littered with deals, with bribes, with mafiosos, with illegal activity. His empire was built on illegal activity to get where he is.
And stealing from the little man.
When people want to compare Obama to Trump and say Obama's this evil, horrible guy, you know, before Obama became president, he was a senator. And then before that, he was just some pothead lawyer teaching.
And before that, a pothead college student.
That was it.
Yeah.
He didn't have deals with the mafia and Putin and world leaders and oligarchs in Russia. Now, Nathan, what are you saying? Obama's a good guy? No, folks. I'm just saying the truth right here.
Let's look at this with our eyes open and see that Trump has a nasty... He had strip clubs in his casinos.
Donna, he owned strip clubs in his what?
His casinos. You know, what we're not supposed to go to as Christians? We're not supposed to gamble with the money that God gives us?
Yes. Trump got wealthy from casinos.
Yes.
And strip clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol.
Free drinks for everybody if you put some money in the slot machine.
But he's God's man.
Mm-hmm.
So you take this guy that is a cultural anomaly. I mean, he is. And I made a statement, I think on Facebook or a program. I said he was a cartoon and people took issue with it. How dare you, Nathan, call him a cartoon? Done. He was cartoony. If a person participates in WWF wrestling.
You are a cartoon.
You're a cartoon.
Yes.
You know, put on the mask and pretend in the theater and all that. Beat up the guys and pretend. That's a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Trump did that. He did the heel in the face. Good guy, villain, bad guy, cartoon, yes. Dynamic. He understands it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Donald Trump, who replaced Obama and is now treated by a similar display. And I was saying this earlier, the way that Obama was worshipped, Trump is treated with a similar display of cultish admiration. Except this time, instead of the... you know, Obama phone lady. Obama gave me a phone. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's going to give me my food. My food. Remember we...
He's going to give me my food stamps.
Remember all the memes and the YouTubes making fun of that lady.
Get your free phones. Your free Obama phones. I remember.
All the Christians made fun and laughed. Fox News made fun. You know, the ghetto. Look at the ghetto person. And now we have evangelicals that have replaced the Obama phone lady and are treating Trump with a similar display of that kind of admiration. But this time it's evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
They have fashioned a similar icon the way the Democrats did to Obama. The base, the evangelical base, who made it possible for him to be the president, has fashioned a similar thing. And during normal times, when people consider a president during normal times, most folks would base their loyalty on the president's history, and his records, his performance, his taxes, his business dealing, to understand if he was the character that we wanted in the White House. And one little stain would nullify it. We would say, nah, we don't
Romney.
Want him.
Romney.
One th- he didn't, his...
He's wealthy. That's why we nullify. He's wealthy and he's a Mormon. That's why we nullified Romney. That's why Christians across America nullified Romney, because he was too rich to understand the average person, and he was a Mormon, not a Christian.
Okay, so that was the rule then, but now here we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason, Donna, that I fully believe we are no longer living in normal times. We're not. Because somewhere along the path, America took an odd turn and replaced the president. Now, not all of America, but his base.
Mm-hmm.
They took an odd turn and replaced that guy in the White House with an emperor. Now, think about this, folks. In the past, a president was usually criticized by the citizens when he didn't serve their purpose. They would criticize him, even the ones that voted Bush. Nixon. I voted for Bush. He said no new taxes, and then he raised taxes. He's gone. Nixon erased
some tape. That's all he did.
So he's out of here.
So he's gone.
He's gone. But with Trump, evangelicals, Christians become livid when his actions are criticized or questioned. The same criticism that Republicans had for their guy through previous administrations, mm-hmm. you do the same thing with Trump, and what happens?
You're attacked, thoroughly attacked and put down and called names. And
it's like you said something about their mother. Or you
could probably call their mother names and get away with it now, but not Trump. Don't say anything about Trump.
So this is why I'm bringing up, folks. Now, please try to stay with me here. This is why I am saying and I am proposing that something is weird right now. Because if his support base will not accept any truth or exposure or information that Trump did something wrong, and instead they want to look at him as someone who can do no wrong, it's not normal. And it shows that America has gone into a weird darkness.
A surreal darkness.
Darkness, which confirms what I am saying. We have an emperor. Now, when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, they had Emperor Hirohito, who was worshipped as a god. Remember that, Donna? Well, you know from history, right?
Yes, I know from history.
Hirohito led Japan to war, and no matter what he said, the people obeyed, including the kamikazes,
mm-hmm.
who died crashing their planes into our Navy ships. And today, yes. most Americans would agree that Japan's emperor worship was dumb.
Yes, but if they didn't do it, they were shamed back at home. Their family was ashamed.
Right, but when we look at it from the outside, from our perspective,
from reality,
it was dumb.
Yes, it was.
It defied logic. It made no sense. How could a people worship a man? I thought that even when I was a kid and I would learn about this, I would think, that's dumb. But now here we are, 2017, and America has forged an emperor. How many people are mad at me right now for saying this, Donna? I don't know. I'm sure we'll hear. Okay, I don't know why they're mad at me, Donna. I'm not the one that turned Donald Trump into a god. I didn't do it. Of course, some of his supporters would argue that he's not a god. He's God's man, quote unquote. Okay, let's visit that for a moment.
Well, rephrase it for us.
Are they saying that Trump is, if he's God's man, does that mean he's God's chosen one? God's deliverer? God's man? To do what?
No, that's not what they're saying, Nathan. They're saying that Trump is Cyrus. Do you get that?
We have heard that. And we're going to talk about that on this program to show that that's impossible for Trump to be Cyrus. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not Cyrus.
He can't be Cyrus.
The end time narrative of Cyrus can only be fulfilled by one person, and that's Jesus, when Jesus returns. Well, what do you mean, Nathan? You know, that would be a good thing, folks. If you hear someone tell you that Trump is Cyrus, ask this question to them. Say, if he's Cyrus, please explain to me what Cyrus did in the Bible. Explain to me the context. Explain to me the background historically. Explain to me what his role was in the Old Testament. Tell me the prophecies about Cyrus. Where is that found? Where's the references of Cyrus? And if you really, truly believe Trump is Cyrus, then do you understand who Cyrus is?
Mm-hmm.
Can they do that?
No, they can't do it. It can't be done.
Why not?
Because if you know the story of Cyrus and you know the verses about Cyrus and what Cyrus did and where he started, you will know that it cannot be any human being as a future Cyrus. There is only one person that can be the future Cyrus, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Okay, now let me explain what you're meaning right there, Donna. When we look at Bible prophecy, many prophecies that occurred in the Old Testament were meant to be dual prophecies, meaning that they happen once, but they're going to happen again in the end times. Let's look at the primer on Cyrus, folks. Here we go. Now, Donna, I wasn't trying to insult the people who didn't know. Folks, my motive was not to be mean. I'm not trying to be a jerk or rude to you. But when I was stating, prove to me who Cyrus is, or explain to me who Cyrus is, the reason for that was a challenge to have a hold of the truth. It was a challenge to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Cyrus is in the Bible, in the word of truth, so we need to be able to rightly divide it, meaning rightly dissect it and analyze it, study it, break it down, and understand it. That is the discipline of a Christian. That is the job of God's people, to be wise, to have the right information. The wise man who, from the East, who knew about the birth of Jesus, they were rightly dividing something. They had something broken down. I'm pretty sure if we saw their blackboard, there'd be all kinds of figures and
little lines coming down from the straight line with
who knows what in different sciences, astronomy, you know, the constellations and the signs in the heaven, all that, Star of Bethlehem. They had some study behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just hear one theory and take it as fact. So in the end times, to be wise, and Daniel 12 says this, the wise will understand, but the wicked will not. So let's be wise, folks. When we look at the background of Israel in the Old Testament, Israel at one point was a united nation that consisted of 12 tribes. Then they had a falling out after Solomon died and his son took over and did stupid things by raising taxes and mistreating the people. So there was a split. They seceded. So then you had from the 12 tribes, you had 10 tribes of Israel went north, and then Jerusalem stayed with Judah and Benjamin and Levi.
Levi was on both sides.
Now, Levi was the tribe of the priests. So every region had their own land except for the Levites. The Levites lived in all regions because they served in the synagogues as ministers. So they were in all of them. So some Levites were with the north, mm-hmm. and then some stayed with the south. So in the south, you had Jerusalem that consisted of Judah and Benjamin and Levi. And then you had in the north, the 10. As Israel progressed in disobedience, Babylon came in and attacked the north and carried them off as captives. And then he placed a puppet government in Jerusalem, Zedekiah, who for 9 years was a vassal for Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. After 9 years of being under the scourge and the finger of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Jerusalem, Zephaniah, tried to get out of the arrangement. He didn't like being the little
whipping boy.
Yeah, he didn't like it. So he asked Egypt to help him fight Babylon to get rid of the scourge of Babylon. When the Pharaoh heard this, the Pharaoh said, no, thank you. No way. I'm not fighting them. Babylon was the big guy on the top of the hill. Nebuchadnezzar was tough. They were doing their invasions, spreading their democracy, their tyranny. I'm being sarcastic. So Nebuchadnezzar heard about Zephaniah's desire to escape and said, really? I don't think so. I need to make an example of him. So Nebuchadnezzar took his army and showed up outside the walls of Jerusalem. And for a year and a half, they had him under siege. This is all in Jeremiah 39. And then finally, he busted through the walls and carried them away captive. For 70 years, they were captive. This is Nebuchadnezzar taking them captive for 70 years. Now, folks, please keep this in mind. This is all scripture. It's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 39, he shows up. In the next few chapters, it shows what the refugees try to do to escape. They try to hide the people that hid in the woods and the forest. After Nebuchadnezzar left, tried to escape to Egypt. And Jeremiah said, you can't go to Egypt or God will kill you there. This is judgment time. We can't escape his judgment. So for 70 years, they were captives. After the 70 years expired, there was a prophecy by Jeremiah that they would then come back. Isaiah had in his writings, Cyrus was going to be the tool to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
So after 70 years of Babylonian reign in that region of the world, they were having a party one night, and that was the night where the handwriting on the wall showed up, and God spoke, many, many, tikia parzan, that you've been found wanting, and your kingdom's going to be given to the Persians, the Medo-Persians. That was the prophecy. That's in the book of Daniel. The Persians showed up and became then the world power. Babylon took second place, and then it was a new kid on the block, Persia. The leader of Persia during this time is Cyrus. So when Cyrus shows up in Babylon and he took over the palace and he got to meet the cupbearer and all the people who worked for the Babylonian leaders, he saw that there were a lot of captive Jews living there, and he saw that they had been in captivity for a long time. And then one of the scribes showed Cyrus that his name was in the Bible. Hey, Cyrus, guess what? You have been prophesied. Your name was written in our holy scrolls. And Cyrus says, what? What are you talking about? And they showed Cyrus his name in Isaiah 45. Cyrus saw the prophecy about himself And God softened his heart and used him to let God's people free, sent them back to Israel, and they came as pilgrimage groups, different colonies. They rebuilt the walls, and that's where Nehemiah, the writings of Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls. When Nehemiah showed up back in Israel, for 70 years, the locals had everything to themselves. The Jews were all gone, and the locals were a mixture of
Ites,
the Arab people, Sanballat. So you have these natives who stuck around, and when they saw the Jews coming back, they didn't like it.
No.
So then there's a problem there, and that's what Nehemiah is about. Slowly, the pilgrims came, the colonies came back, and they resettled Israel.
And rebuilt the wall.
Cyrus was the agent that helped that happen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, keep this in mind. Babylon oppressed God's people, and Babylon was used to purge and punish God's people. Babylon was the method God used to bring them back into righteousness, into obedience, into the fear of God, because then they realized that as long as they obeyed, God was going to protect them. Mm-hmm. So Babylon helped them get their priorities right. That's the tool. He was a whip to chastise Israel, but then God had mercy and they came home. Now, key word, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the end time narrative in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 17 and 18, we see Mystery Babylon again. We see that the leader of Mystery Babylon is going to be hated by the world, but they will have a very strong control over the world. Whoever Mystery Babylon is, and at this point in time, I believe that Mystery Babylon has layers. I've stated this on all the programs, Donna. We talk about this a lot. The reference to Mystery Babylon is also used to say daughter of Babylon. Mm-hmm. Mystery Babylon, the Chaldeans. So there's this entity. It's a government. It has very strong power in the end of time. That's mentioned in Revelation. So we have Babylon that's going to be used once again to purge God's people. Mm-hmm. In Jeremiah 50 and 51, we have a reference to Babylon again. And Jeremiah 50 and 51 will mirror, and we'll see similar verses in Jeremiah 50 and 51, as well as in Revelation. Similar verses to show this is the same thing they're talking about, the same entity.
Jeremiah 50, 33. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come.
What you just read right there shows that Babylon will be used to thresh God's people. You know, we are the wheat that is purged. So Babylon will be used by God to thresh. So Babylon will be used during the tribulation period. Now, folks, it's very important to keep this in mind. Babylon becomes a mystery at the end of time. And whoever Babylon is will also become the prison of demons and hateful birds. Revelation 18 says this. If America is Babylon, then all these demon creatures are going to migrate to America, which we do see happening right now. Things are weird. So if America is Babylon, at one point it's live it to beaver America, not Babylon, and everybody's nice. It morphs into this creature where everybody's weird.
Yes, Animal Farm, just bizarre, confusion.
Right, and the craziness of Babylon will carry through the tribulation period. Babylon does not stop, it never retreats, it doesn't go backwards. There's no reprieve over the development and morphing of America into a bad thing.
Our only reprieve is the harvest.
At the very end of the period where the time of the Gentiles are over, where Jesus returns to earth, we have chaos going on and the apocalypse and all the trumpets of Revelation, earth changes, horrible stuff. Mm-hmm. Depopulation, a fourth of the world dies, and then a third. You know, all that stuff in Revelation.
Poisoning of the waters, yes.
That's all happening while Babylon is reigning. So if Babylon is reigning, then we also have the leader of Babylon in the Old Testament. What was his name?
Nebuchadnezzar.
So if the Old Testament shadow and reference of Babylon is once again taking place, then that would mean that we would expect to see a reference to end time Babylon's leader being called Nebuchadnezzar, which is symbolic for whoever the leader is.
And yes.
What I'm saying right now is actually in there. Nebuchadnezzar is mentioned in end time Babylon. Jeremiah 50 verse 17.
Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last this Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon hath broken his bones.
Okay, so that's written cryptically. It's talking about Israel will be also going through purging during the tribulation period, as well as God's people. But it mentions Nebuchadnezzar at the last, meaning at the end of Babylon, the end time period of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon will break the bones of Israel. In other words, he's going to be persecuting Israel. So whoever Mystery Babylon is, we know that Israel will be mistreated during the tribulation period. So what this is saying right here is that end time Babylon aside from vexing the whole world and oppressing the world and bringing persecution to the saints of God, will also bring persecution to Israel. And it mentions that the leader of end time Babylon is Nebuchadnezzar. Now, of course, that's not going to be his real name. This is symbolic, but it does tell us the same prophecy and things that took place for ancient Israel is once again going to happen to God's people, the church and Israel, both. But the church is going to experience the captivity. Nebuchadnezzar took God's people captive, and in the end times, we're going to have captivity once again. Ladies and gentlemen, think about that. If Nebuchadnezzar took God's people captive, and he's mentioned right here in Jeremiah 50:17, then that means the concentration camps, the prisons, the detainment, and all those things that we expected to happen in the end times is going to be conducted by Babylon. Meaning, if we're America, America is going to be in the role of concentration camps, and their leader will be likened to a Nebuchadnezzar. So, if Donald Trump is the president of America, and if America is Babylon, then how can Trump be Cyrus? Because Babylon is used as Mystery Babylon, and the leader of Babylon is Nebuchadnezzar, meaning whoever the president is would be in the role of a Nebuchadnezzar, and right now we have Donald Trump.
So no president we have can be a Cyrus.
No, because...
because this is the threshing floor.
Now, how long does Babylon make it, Donna? Does Babylon make it and then there's another year of tribulation where Cyrus comes in? Or does Babylon make it 5 years before Jesus comes back? No. If we go to Revelation 19, when Jesus gets on the horse, at the very beginning of Revelation 19, let's turn there. Revelation 19 is the return of Jesus with the saints.
My Bible titles it, Heaven Exalts Over Babylon. 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they say, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then the voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both great and small. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready.
The wife, the church, is ready.
And that is at the very end. And Babylon still exists up until that time.
Right, but it just got destroyed because in the previous chapter, 18:21, for a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. So it gets destroyed, and then 19, it's still getting destroyed. But it said the wife has made herself ready. So before Babylon is destroyed, Babylon exists on the earth, and during the same time, the church is getting ready, meaning they got ready by having to endure Babylon. Babylon was their oppressor.
Yes.
Babylon was mistreating.
Right up until the return of the groom.
Exactly. So if rescue comes by destroying Babylon, and Jesus is the one on the horse, when we look at the Old Testament and we see the same timeline, we saw Babylon oppressing God's people and then they got rescued because Cyrus showed up. In the same way in the New Testament, if Babylon gets destroyed at the very end, then Cyrus shows up. Who's Cyrus?
That would make Jesus Cyrus.
And I can prove that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to show you that this is all scriptural, because there is a passage of scripture that has been used to tell Donald Trump he is Cyrus. And we're going to look at that scripture right now to prove that it's impossible for him to be Cyrus, and that it is Jesus, and it can be no one else. This is found in Isaiah chapter 45. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have your Bibles, if you're taking notes, go to Isaiah 45, and I'm going to show the prophecy about the return of Jesus in reference to Cyrus. Now, it's interesting that during the election, during the campaign of Donald Trump, Lance Wownall said that the Lord showed him that Isaiah 45 was a prophecy about Trump, because Trump was going to be president 45. So that's the proof that Trump is Cyrus. Folks, there are some very important things that I have to say right here that are concerning. And one of the biggest concerns out of everything is that instead of Trump being this guy that he's being touted as, he's a counterfeit. And if he's a counterfeit that has been given the credit of Christ,
that would make him an antichrist.
Yes. So if the church has elevated Donald Trump to fulfilling Isaiah 45 and saying he is a Cyrus,
when we know that Cyrus is Jesus.
Well, I haven't proven it to everyone yet, and I'm about to, Donna, but you're right. If Cyrus is Jesus, but we're saying that Trump is Cyrus, then before our eyes, is it possible that the Antichrist has been christened and coronated by the Evangelical Church of Babylon America? Is it possible that the prophecies that should be attributed to our Lord and Messiah have been stripped and stolen from our Lord and Messiah and given to a man? And then if you argue with it, we see the behavior of those who have done this. Things are not right, Donna. Things are weird.
Very strange.
So folks, this is another reason that I'm very concerned. I've been at this for 10 years. Donna and I have been doing this for 10 years. And from the very beginning, God let us know what time it was. God helped me to hit the ground running prophetically. Of course, at the time I was crippled. I had a blown out ACL. And for 2 years I was crippled. But that God did that on purpose to allow him to get my attention. Mm-hmm. We went through some purging, Donna. You remember that? We had financial ruin. We experienced, it was bad.
Yes, there was nothing left.
But God needed to do that for us. And then God began showing, praise God. I saw glimpses. I wasn't the only one. There's a lot of other people out there, so I'm not saying I'm the only one. God showed me glimpses of things that were coming. I saw the war. I saw the Chinese troops. I saw the Russians. I saw the missiles flying. I saw the dogfights, the tank battles over Kansas, over Colorado. I saw the missiles hit Seattle, Washington, Hawaii. I saw the dollar crash. I saw people standing in line. I saw the shopping malls that were shut down and empty except for the food courts that were feeding people. I saw the lines of locals in small towns registering their families because we were occupied by Russian troops. And they were standing in lines being mistreated, but we were invaded. I saw Chinese troops in Dallas, Texas at Bible colleges reformatting the theology of the people, controlling the people. Saw a lot of stuff. And I've shared it. I saw the Statue of Liberty beheaded, and it was God's sword that did it. God gave me the prophecy that judgment has begun April 18th, 2008. And in that prophecy, he revealed, and this is on record, most of our listeners have heard it, Donna, that the crash was coming, an economic collapse was coming, and people would lose their houses and their wealth and their cars and their gold. And many of them, because they put God behind their things and they put possessions in front of everything, they would end up living in their cars. That was a prophecy before the crash of September 08, God revealed that the waters of America were poisoned by adultery and homosexuality. And as a result, because of that, as a judgment, God was going to poison the waters of America, the fresh as well as the salt water. And then we saw the Deepwater Horizon happen. We saw Fukushima happen. So line by line, the judgment has begun prophecy has been taking place. And you can go to my website, folks, watchmanscry.com. Go to at the very top, Prophecy, Dreams, and Visions. It's there. Judgment has begun. Or just Google it. Nathan Liao, judgment has begun. It'll come up. The prophecy ended with there would be famine and earthquakes and a tempest of deadly storms in America. A tempest of deadly storms. And because God revealed the judgment has begun, and because I didn't get a memo saying that it was stopped, God changed his mind, I have not changed course on that message. That's why my heart is set, and I'm not going to waver to the left or the right, because God showed this 10 years ago. You know, Donna, it's weird. In the invisible realm, you wonder how all of a sudden, at the same time, people in the dominionist movement who didn't know each other, suddenly, overnight, woke up with the same idea. Trump is the Messiah and God's man. Now, they'll tell you, no, he's not a Messiah. We don't say that. We just say he's God's man. Well, if he's God's man, then he needs to be obedient to God's laws and guidelines mm-hmm. and barometer and boundaries. There is no one excusable. If Moses was not treated with a bias and a prejudice, you know, a free pass by God, then Donald Trump will not either. If David got a gripe out session by Prophet Nathan, then Donald Trump is not above reproach.
And he did not only get a gripe out session, he lost a child. He lost a kingdom.
He did.
God is no respecter of persons.
Amen. So for Christians to excuse and insist to excuse him and then get mad for pointing it out, something's wrong. Something is wrong in the air. There's a spirit that's wrong, Donna. And I believe that this is a signal. Because of the way that people act, it's a signal that we're in the end times and there's a huge demonic display going on right now. A huge demonic takeover of entities that are deceiving a lot of folks. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to see you one of those who are deceived. And if you're struggling with what I'm saying, pray about what you hear. Pray about it. Now, in Isaiah 45, there's three verses in Isaiah 45 that were attributed to Donald Trump. And these verses are the prophecy about Cyrus. And folks, watch this. I have not heard from others, and I'm sure there's someone else in the world, there's others in the world who will agree with what I'm about to show. But for the most part, from the present dominionists, what I'm about to show has not been attributed to Jesus.
No, I have never heard anyone else attribute this to Jesus.
So as we read the prophecy about Cyrus, ladies and gentlemen, from Isaiah 45, 1, 2, and 3, make note that this is talking about Jesus in the future when he rescues us. Now, Donna, go ahead with verse 1.
Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel.
Okay. Now, it's a dual prophecy. It was for Cyrus in the Old Testament. It was, obviously. But this is also a prophecy about Jesus, who is going to rescue the world from Mystery Babylon, from Nebuchadnezzar. When we look at Donald Trump, I am watching a cult of personality where he can do no wrong.
Yes.
I'm about to say some strong words. So folks, I'm sorry if they're strong, but I don't know any other way to put it. When we look at the end time narrative of the Antichrist, we can expect that the Antichrist will be worshipped, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. He will. And it says in the Bible that he'll be worshipped because the false prophet, the church, false religious system, will convince the church that he's okay.
They will cause them to worship him.
So if we have the church who's going to be the cheerleader for this leader of Babylon and the end time beast, and right now we're watching, and people say we are Mystery Babylon. Yes, we are. And we're watching the leader of Mystery Babylon paraded as a hero, as God's man. Donna, I think we could safely agree that aside from the present, let's just look at Bible prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we can agree that the Antichrist and the way that people will treat him will be cultish. Do we agree on that, Donna?
Yes, we do agree on that.
The leader of a cult has a personality perception where, let's use the word again, a cult of personality, where the cult members can find no wrong in him. Everything he does is okay. Let's look at an example of in the Mormon church. You have the prophets in the Mormon church, mm-hmm. You know, and some of those fringe ones.
Yeah, the FLDS.
FLDS, that's the one where they live in compounds. And, mm-hmm. And each of these compounds has an appointed prophet.
Yes.
And that prophet does things that are wrong. He steals. He mistreats.
He has young girls marry old men by force.
But I mean, he's unjust.
Yes.
He steals from others. He takes the offerings, the tithes or whatever they are, and he uses it for self-gain.
Yes.
Because he's the little king of the village. But the people don't resist.
No, and you can't point that out to them.
So people in cults who are members of cults never go against the cult leader because he can do no wrong because he is appointed by God.
Let's take Jim Jones for an example. Even up to the point of dying for him, he could do no wrong.
The followers hang on to his every word. Mm-hmm. No matter what he says, no matter how absurd it is, if he does a thumbs up or thumbs down on anyone, then the people will follow suit. Mm-hmm. If he hates John Doe, then the people will hate John Doe.
Right.
If he approves of John Doe, then the people will love John Doe until he hates him.
Exactly, yes.
Right now, we see Donald Trump doing the thumbs up or down daily on his tweets for individuals, mm-hmm. People who come on board and work for him for a day or a week or 2 weeks. And if he gets upset with them, then it's off with their heads. And he tweets about it, that they're the devil, they're horrible, they were hard to work with. He gets rid of them, and then everyone hates them also.
Over and over it's happened.
Attorney General, FBI, mm-hmm. Secretaries, cabinet members. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
As long as he praises them, everybody praises him. Once he stops and he says, oh, I don't like working with this person, they're impossible to work with, then everybody hates him.
When we look at the prophecies about the Antichrist, we see images of someone that's very pompous and boastful and brags a lot. It says that in Daniel 7 and 8. He was pompous.
It does.
He loved prosperity. He worshipped gold and silver, precious things. He destroyed wonderfully with craftiness and deceit. When we look at Donald Trump, he brags about himself. He brags about size constantly. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. Size matters to him.
Huge.
On 9/11, when the buildings came down, he called into a TV station. And he said, okay, on 9/11, Donna, how many days were we walking around weeping? You just, a week, 2 weeks, remember?
I think I was in shock for a full month.
But remember, there was just a grieving, yes, a sorrow, a weeping. When you saw the pictures of the jumpers and the smoke, and it was a very sorrowful season, right? Donna can't even talk, she's getting teary-eyed, because it was real. Donald Trump called in to a TV station on 9/11 and said, my tower used to be the second tallest tower in New York, but now it's the tallest tower in New York. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this.
Some technical difficulties, which is totally understandable when you try to do, you know, ad hoc reporting and getting information to you as fast as we possibly can and making sure that it's accurate at the same time. So
Donald Trump is on the line. Indeed. I mean, we know him as the man behind lots of real estate in Manhattan. And, of course, Donald, I understand you were actually a witness to what happened this morning.
Well, I have a window that looks directly at the World Trade Center, and I saw this huge explosion. I was with a group of people, and I really couldn't even believe it. And even, I think, worse than that, for years I've looked right directly at the building. I'd see the Empire State Building in the foreground and the World Trade Center in the background, and now I'm looking at absolutely nothing. It's just gone, and it's just hard to believe.
Donald, you have one of the landmark buildings down in the Financial District, 40 Wall Street. Did you have any damage, or did you know what's happened down there?
40 Wall Street actually was the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan, and it was actually before the World Trade Center was the tallest. And then when they built the World Trade Center, it became known as the second tallest, and now it's the tallest.
Donna, comment?
I don't even know why you would mention that. Why would you mention that at that moment? Why would you even bring that up?
Because all he cares about is size.
And himself.
You know, he talked about crowd size during his campaign.
Huge.
The inauguration crowd size he talked about. He talked about the votes. He got the most votes. We got the most votes in this state. Even to this day, he's still in that mode, always talking about size. Now, when the Book of Daniel says this guy's just pompous, Donna, I don't know anyone else in the entire planet that is fixated and obsessed with size like he is. What we just heard just now was
pride. We heard pride.
But that's God's man right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at this passage of scripture, I can't get away from it, Donna. We're watching something weird go on right now in the United States that's being ignored. But I'm very concerned that at this point in time, if he goes away, then praise God, we have more time. But there's a part of me that wonders if he's the guy. I'm very serious, folks. There is a part of me that suspects that Donald Trump is the Antichrist little horn villain from the scriptures. And I'm not saying this prophetically. This is just a concern I have. Because I'm not hearing this from the majority of Christians. They feel the opposite. He's Cyrus. So when we look at Cyrus, thus says to the Lord his anointed. Now make note, ladies and gentlemen, as we read each word, how they can be attributed to Jesus. Jesus was the Christ. The Christ means the anointed one.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it starts out, thus says the Lord to his anointed one. We could replace this right here to his Christ. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings. If this is talking about Jesus, then it will mention some of the things that Jesus is going to do or has done in his advents when he came the first time or the second time. To subdue nations before him. When we go to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and let's do that. So folks, go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7 is one of the snapshots of the end time beast, the little horn, their spokesman, and the persecution that's going to take place on the earth, and also the return of Jesus, the Ancient of Days, our Messiah. And we talked about this in previous programs. But in verses 13, it says, I was watching the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. So, dominion over the world
is given to Jesus when he returns.
When he returns. Then to him was given dominion, kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is the one which will not be destroyed. And it mentions in here that Jesus is taking over the other kingdoms. Verse 18, the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Verse 21, I was watching the same little horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So the little horn will persecute the saints, according to verse 21, and prevail. How long, Donna?
Until Jesus returns.
Until the Ancient of Days comes and the saints will possess the kingdom when he returns. So Babylon will be our threshing floor.
Until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns for us.
Exactly. So when we go back to Isaiah 45, thus says to the Lord his anointed, to Cyrus his right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings. To subdue the nations, that's when Jesus takes over the dominion, and loose the armor of kings. That means that the kings of earth... He's taking it away. So the little horn and what Babylon is doing to God's people, prevailing against them with his armor, Babylon armor, Jesus is going to loose the armor of those kings. So we can see in verse 1 a reference to Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to verse 2. To open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. What does that mean? The double doors. There are prophecies in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel, and we find it over and over in Ezekiel chapter 10, 11, 43, 44, 46 about the eastern gate and how the gate at the east of the city, that's where the glory of God is, and how Jesus will go in through the eastern gate. In Zechariah 14:4, it talks about Jesus going through the eastern gate when he arrives. So it's been prophesied that Jesus will walk through the eastern gate. Now, what is that? What's the eastern gate? Jerusalem has 8 gates around it.
The first one is Dung Gate. Then there's Zion Gate, Joppa Gate, New Gate, Damascus Gate, Herod's Gate, Lion's Gate, and Golden Gate.
The Golden Gate is also known as the Eastern Gate. And one of the sultans from several hundred years ago, when the Muslims were in control of Jerusalem, knew about the prophecy that the Messiah was going to come through the Eastern Gate. So he purposely sealed up the Eastern Gate, the Golden Gate in Jerusalem.
It's completely sealed closed.
They put blocks on each side, but it's 2 doors, 2 gates.
It is.
And he sealed it up, and then on the other side of the gate, there's steel doors so people cannot enter. They did that so that the Messiah can't come through. It's blocked, Donna. So Jesus won't be able to come into Jerusalem because there's big giant...
I'm wringing my hands right now, worried.
You're worried.
I'm very worried.
In actuality, what would Jesus do? Point, breathe, speak, yes. Think.
Think it, and it will be opened.
Or he'll just nod and the angels will they strain on it, the angels? You know, this mortar's kind of tough. Jesus, 1,000-year mortar. I don't know if we can get through this. Maybe we should just fly over it.
It'll be like they have an electromagnetic pulse and they'll just melt it into crumbs.
You're saying that sarcastically or you're kidding, but yeah, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
But in Isaiah 45:1, it says this anointed one, Cyrus, is going to open the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. So there's a reference to the Eastern Gate right here. And if you look at images, ladies and gentlemen, of the gates of Jerusalem, it's amazing how this thing was prophesied by the Sultan guy trying to stop the prophecy from happening. Actually, it played a role in the fulfillment of prophecy because he sealed it so that Jesus can unseal it. And on the inside of the Eastern Gate, Donna, look at this picture.
Green iron doors blocking it on the inside.
They're iron or steel on the inside.
Metal of some sort, yes.
Metal. And also, the outside of the Eastern Gate, there's a graveyard where people are buried. And on the outside of the Eastern Gate, there's wrought iron bars that are blocking the gate. And then there's a graveyard because the Muslim leader at that time knew that a high priest can't walk where there's dead people buried. So they purposely made a graveyard in front of the Eastern Gate.
So that Jesus couldn't come through there because he's the high priest.
Exactly.
Right. But there won't be any bodies there when Jesus comes through.
I think he'll be able to take care of that one.
Mm-hmm.
He took care of Lazarus. He can take care of this.
Yes.
Not very difficult. Mm-hmm. On the outside of the Eastern Gate, just a few feet away, is a wrought iron fence. And Donna, maybe I'll try to put up some images on the website with notes.
Mm-hmm.
If when I get to it, I'll try. If not, ladies and gentlemen, you can Google it and do a search for the images. But on the inside, there's an iron gate as well, blocked on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now when we look at Isaiah 45... Let's continue on, verse 2. I will go before you and make the crooked path straight.
I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron.
Okay, stop right there. Now, that word bronze can mean, in the original, it can mean iron or brass or bronze. So we could replace that with iron as well. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. There are bars of iron in front of the Eastern Gate right now.
And there's also a gate of metal.
Of metal. So this is a prophecy
of Jesus returning through the Eastern Gate, also known as the Golden Gate.
Yes.
Wow. And this has been attributed to Donald Trump, but this is Jesus.
This is Jesus coming back. Now, as we go on, look at verse 2. I will go before you. I will make the crooked places straight. One little line right there.
Mm-hmm.
I will go before him and make the crooked places straight. Look how incredible God is right here, Donna. When we look at the prophecy about Messiah Jesus and John the Baptist was the trailblazer to prepare the way for Jesus.
Yes, he was.
And the reference to John the Baptist, he had a job to do in Luke chapter 3, verse 4. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have your Bibles, write this down, bring it up. Verse 4. Donna, go ahead and read that as it is written.
As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth."
The crooked places what?
Shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth.
Okay, Isaiah 45:2 says, "I will go before you and do what?"
"I will go before you and make the crooked places straight."
So Isaiah, the reference to Cyrus, says, "I will make the crooked places straight." We just read John the Baptist will prepare the way for the Lord to do what?
He'll make the crooked places straight.
Same words.
Same words.
So now we have the Eastern Gate, Jesus coming through. We have salvation, making the crooked places straight. Mm-hmm. We have that he will be the King of Kings and subdue the world so far.
So far. And the metal on this gate will be destroyed.
So far, Jesus is fulfilling this. Mm-hmm. Let's continue. Verse 3, "I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places." What in the world does that mean? Well, when Jesus was here on earth, he spoke in parables. A lot of parables. And the disciples asked him once, "Jesus, why do you do that?" And what did Jesus tell him, Donna? And where is that found?
Matthew 13:35.
Go ahead.
"That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world."
Now, that is a reference from Psalms 78:2.
Yes, 78:2.
Now, watch this, folks. The parables of Jesus were to reveal secrets kept from the foundation of the world. And in Psalms, it says it a little different.
It says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us."
Okay, so he's talking about the treasures. The parables reveal secrets. And Donna, I think we could categorize Jesus revealing secrets since the foundation of the earth as a treasure.
Yes.
Kind of valuable? Kind of?
Extremely valuable.
Okay, so dark sayings. Valuable, right? Mm-hmm. So when we come back to Isaiah 45:3, "I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places." That's the parables. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see it?
That is Jesus, what Jesus gives us.
This is incredible, that you may know that I, the Lord, call you by name. So what do we have here, Donna? We have a double prophecy, a dual prophecy that's referencing Jesus and a guy that did help them out of captivity, but he was the shadow of the real thing. Cyrus was a prelude. He was the teaser.
He was the deliverer, the shadow deliverer of Jesus, our deliverer.
Exactly. And he acted out to set God's people free, the prisoners free.
Yes.
But the real deliverer is coming on a horse in Revelation 19, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Ancient of Days, to subdue this world and set all of us free. Jesus is Cyrus, ladies and gentlemen. This is exciting. This is incredible. Jesus is Cyrus. How many times should I say that, Donna?
Jesus is Cyrus, and he's going to come back and set us free.
Glory to God, right? Yes. Praise God. Jesus is going to come and set us free. Folks, you will be set free from your bondage, from the mess of this world someday. And if we live long enough.
From this flesh,
from this broken down old body that wants to give out, give up, throw away the key. Jesus is going to deliver us from that. So now when we put everything in context, and this is why it's so important to understand the scriptures, to understand the Bible, to keep everything in proper interpretation. I'm just using the scriptures here, Donna. I'm not making anything up. I don't have to do biblical gymnastics to try to make this fit Jesus. But I do know one thing. It doesn't fit a man, a regular human.
No.
And Donald Trump, now ladies and gentlemen, by seeing this information and seeing it for yourself in the Bible, you tell me if a human being could do what Isaiah 45:1-3 is referencing. Could Donald Trump be that guy?
No.
And to consider that Donald Trump is going to break the iron gates and the bars of iron and to make the crooked places straight.
And to know the dark sayings, the secrets. Isn't that blasphemous even to consider that you are attributing Jesus's work here to a human being?
To a pompous human being.
To a sinful, pompous, conceited human being.
It's vile, Donna. And now, let's place this in context on the table. For the Bible to reveal that this cannot be a man, but for preachers, mm-hmm. to say that Donald Trump is this man reveals what? First of all, I mean...
They don't know the word of God. They don't understand it. They don't know it. They don't understand it. They don't know the hidden riches and the secret places. They can't use scripture to interpret scripture.
Why not? What's the problem? If he's Cyrus, if Lance Wilnau is correct, if all these other guys saying this nonsense, that
but
he's
they
Cyrus.
Can't know, they can't read this and see Jesus here. How can you not see Jesus is here? This is Jesus.
So
our Lord and Savior.
It's Jesus. Is it blasphemy, Donna? What error are we talking? Are we talking about just a simple oops? Or is this more serious than that? Because to consider Donald Trump as having an attribute of the end time deliverer, in my opinion, this is why I'm concerned. Because that's the same sort of thing we should expect when the Antichrist is attributed to being an actual anointed one.
Mm-hmm. By the false prophet. Because this is about the lover of our soul. We should know him. If we are followers of him, we know him.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, think about this. The atmosphere in the end of time, during the tribulation period, that will behave in a manner that takes a regular man and claims that he is somehow God's anointed man, and to excuse all of his
sinful fleshly behavior.
To excuse it, to point away, and then to get mad at Christians trying
to
point it out.
Not just excuse it, Nathan, to praise his sinful fleshly behavior as somehow righteous.
I think what we're watching, Donna, if this isn't the Antichrist villain scheme taking place before us, it sure is a good warm-up for it. But the way that it's playing out right now, ladies and gentlemen, please think about this. I just illustrated. Donald Trump is being given the Christ anointed attributes, or he's being attributed.
By claiming this verse about Jesus over a human being who is flawed, not even a believer, not a follower of Christ, not an obedient servant of Jesus Christ, and to give him... If somebody wrote you, Nathan, and gave you this, I would say, I rebuke that. How dare you put this prophecy on my husband when this is clearly Jesus?
Exactly. If we take the glory from God that rightfully belongs to him, God will put worms inside of us. You know, we see the story. Herod had worms and died. We saw Nebuchadnezzar became a beast.
And ate grass.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a minor thing. This is not a trivial thing. This is not just a matter of, well, let's agree to disagree, or this is your opinion. This is the Bible right here.
Okay, when the NIV calls Satan the morning star, which is a name for Jesus, we get angry. It makes us angry. This should make you righteously angry. This is our Lord and Savior. This is not a human man.
But to give him these attributes, I mean, it makes you want to weep. It makes you want to lament. It makes you want to scream, get angry. There's a lot of righteous response that stirs up in your spirit, right, Donald? As we're looking at this, because when we say Isaiah 45, 1, 2, 3, now that we saw, is it beautiful?
This is our groom. This is our groom, church.
It's beautiful, right? The promise? This is incredible. This information needs to be shared far and wide.
Yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, get a hold of this information. The references that I shared, get a hold of them, study them, highlight them in your Bible, cross-reference them, and be able to present, or else just let them listen to this program. But if you can't do that, get a hold of what these things mean, because this is vital for God's people to understand. Because this is what we're facing now, and we're facing a crazy deception that is making people...
It's ugly. It's so ugly.
It's disappointing. It's concerning. And we're watching piece by piece. Don, if my concerns are true, if Donald Trump is the Antichrist, let me just say it, folks, then we can expect a lot of other things to take place. He will be untouchable. Now, I understand that the dominionist people are attributing his ability to be untouchable, to be the anointing of God.
Mm-hmm.
But we should also expect that the Antichrist will be untouchable.
The little horn, he dominates. He rules.
So to say Donald Trump, it slips off his back. He's a duck. He's a winner. You can't beat him. He's playing four-dimensional chess. All these things attributing goodness to his ability to weasel through.
Mm-hmm. Are all also attributes of the Antichrist, of the little horn. They are the same attributes he will have.
So that
nothing
should,
sticks.
And I don't mean to be in fear, but a healthy... Mm-hmm. Concern that, wow, are we that far along? Are we actually there? Are we actually witnessing what we read in the Bible and it's taking place before our eyes? But how? How can that be? How is it taking place right now? I'm not saying it is, Donna, but we have to be watching. We have to have it on the table.
So maybe we're getting past the birth pangs and getting into the labor phase.
Yeah. So if this is true, the deception is going to just get stronger because it's a virus, a spiritual virus that has been unleashed over the land of Babylon. Because Babylon, according to Revelation 18, will become the prison of these demons. And these demons will make sure that the spiritual virus will infect
as many as can be deceived.
The zombie apocalypse of blindness and changed personalities and anger and hatred.
People are becoming drunk on their power, what they consider their power, their flesh.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pray about what I'm sharing right here. Consider what I'm sharing. If you have your preconceived interpretations, that's fine. Leave it on the table. But add what I'm sharing here also, and just consider that maybe it can happen a different way. That's safer. So consider it, but please don't do this, folks. Please don't start typing away and say, nuh-uh, Nathan, it's the Pope. You don't know.
Prince Charles.
I'm presenting something in real time right now. Donald Trump is fulfilling more than these other guys.
The Dominionist Church, false church, is fulfilling a lot of what the false prophet is supposed to do. I'm not listening to the Pope. The Pope is not convincing my friends and neighbors and Christian brothers and sisters to worship Donald Trump. The Pope doesn't even like Donald Trump. But who is, Donna? But the Dominionists, the NAR.
The evangelicals.
The evangelicals are doing it. The false church.
And it's not just the NAR people. It's some of the Baptists. They are Dominionists as well. Mm-hmm. But
the real church is being... I think they can still come back from it, but some of them are in deception right now.
Well, you have Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. He's mainstream.
Graham.
But they believe in Trump. They think that he's this appointed, anointed guy. When you look at the leader of the Capitol Bible Studies Ministries, Ralph Drollinger, and he has a Bible study with members of Congress and the Senate and Trump's cabinet. And I recently heard, Don, I played it for you. He boasted that...
We need Trump to be our benevolent dictator.
He boasted that America needs a benevolent dictator, and that is Trump. When people say, you know, they're having Bible studies in Washington, D.C., but the guy leading the Bible study...
is a Dominionist who wants Trump to be our dictator.
We have a problem.
Yes.
In fact, let me play that clip. Listen to this.
And I do 52 Bible studies. People can go to capmen.org and sign up to have delivered my weekly 8-page Bible study to their email address. And that's in-depth exegetically with application to the life of a public servant. So you ask this question about the president. But in America is in such desperate straits, especially economically, that if we don't have almost a benevolent dictator to turn things around, I just don't think it's going to happen through our governance process right now. So where no oxen are, the manger is clean. So you can get clean guys there, but they're not going to get a whole lot done. That if we don't have almost a benevolent dictator,
the benevolent dictator, the benevolent dictator.
Okay, there it is, Donna. It's better. America needs a benevolent dictator. It's better. So, folks, we are in the Twilight Zone. It is surreal, the things taking place right now. I understand that this is heavy-duty information, but that's where we are. And that's why we bring this information to you, so that you can have the truth to chew on, so that you can have the truth to share with your family, so that you can have the truth to guide and navigate your life and your decisions.
So your shield can block the enemy's blows.
Amen. Reject the lies and have a strategy that doesn't fall into that trap. I know that this is a long program. I appreciate you sticking with us. Please share this information. Share it with your friends and family. Help us get this message out. With your help, those people who are in the dark, who are being led astray, can be led into the light. And with your help, those who are on crooked paths can be placed on straight paths. So with that, Donna, you have any last words?
I just want to encourage people to stay in repentance, to walk in repentance, and to make amends with your family, and to build bridges with your family so that you can then share the gospel with them, so that when Jesus does return, they'll get to go with you.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you. We do have a Facebook page. You can find me at Nathan Liao at Watchman's Cry on Facebook. And Donna, you're Donna?
Donna A. Liao.
So you can find us on Facebook if you want to friend us, or if you want to email us, you can go to our website, watchmanscry.com, and we have a contact. And also, folks, remember us with your support and also with the prayer requests that I have with my situation. With you, we can get this done. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.